Yes, hello and welcome back to a brand new episode of the McLav podcast. My name is Michael and as always, thank you so much for listening wherever, however you're doing it. I thank you so much for doing so. I hope you're having a fantastic day. What are you up to? I know what I've done today equates to close to zero. And as the days went on, I've said to myself, I need to record a podcast. I need to do this. And I didn't really know what I was going to talk about. Sort of scribbled down a few notes, as I always say that I do. And then another Netflix trailer or announcement dropped. And I think I've decided what I'd like to talk about. Netflix have cracked the code. Or at least it seems like they have. I've plenty of other stuff that's maybe a bit loud. Let me turn that down a wee bit. There we go. That's a bit better. Sorry for deafening you there to begin with. Plenty of stuff I want to talk about. Things that have happened since the last episode. Things that are coming up this weekend. But I just thought I'd start off by, and there's the creaky chair again, I know, I'm sorry. Thought I'd start off by addressing this Netflix strategy. The sports documentary, sports behind the scenes, never before seen perspective, has been popular for years. NFL was doing it with Hard Knocks, then Amazon came along with All or Nothing, and it's been a extremely popular format for years. But Netflix are doing this thing where they're sort of covering all bases. Started 5 years ago with Drive to Survive. Now, that wasn't Netflix's doing necessarily. That was Liberty Media and the people that bought Formula One's way of growing the sport and putting it out to a wider audience. But I think then once Netflix seen how successful that series was, they started pitching the idea to other sports and other, marketing teams within different sports and different leagues, I suppose you could say. And we've ended up where we are right now, which is with an absolute barrage of, is that even a word, a barrage? A barrage? You think I should know something like that? I'm not even going to bother to check if it's right or not, I'll just leave it like that. But we're in a place now where we have a lot of great sport content either ready to watch or coming soon. Now, what's put that in your head, Michael? I hear you ask. Maybe not. Was it the golf documentary that you've been speaking about for 2 months? Maybe. Yes, it was fantastic. I've watched it in its entirety. But literally about 10 minutes before I started recording this, I'm recording this Wednesday night. It'll be going out Thursday morning. So last night, Netflix announced that they're doing an NFL docuseries. It's following three quarterbacks. It's conveniently called Quarterback. Patrick Mahomes, the literal biggest star in the game. Kirk Cousins and Marcus Mariota. Those last two guys had pretty up and down seasons, quite different seasons, so we'll have a lot of storylines. Mariota welcomed a child during the season as well. There'll be a lot of different storylines to follow. There's been no details released yet as to how many episodes, how long each episode will be. But that's just the latest in a long line of Netflix series that are coming our way. So as I said, we had the Formula One. We had Breakpoint, the tennis series, which I must admit didn't get fully into. We had Full Swing for the golf. Finished it already. Absolutely fantastic. And they'd already previously announced, and I think I mentioned this on another podcast not that long ago, so I apologize for repeating myself. Pretty bad at that. they announced the rugby is getting some coverage through during the Six Nations. I think they're recording it now as the Six Nations are going on. And I think in the summer, the Tour de France is also going to be covered. And this is what they do so well. And I think this interests me mostly because... Oh, I'll turn that on silent. What interests me most about this, I think, is from... It's from a sports media perspective. It's from what I'm studying. It's from the look of how well they're able to capture people's attention. And both new fans and existing fans, and cater to them both. They're explaining sports to people in a way that they never would have had it explained to them before. They have journalists and experts and professionals sitting down and clearly laying it out. This is how this sport works. And that's that. For example, Drive to Survive. I don't know how many times over the course of just the first series alone, the makeup of a Formula One weekend is explained. That you've got Friday practice, Saturday qualifying, Sunday race. That is absolutely hammered home into you, and you know, start to finish, then when you're watching the rest of the series, oh, that makes sense. He did well in qualifying. Oh, he did this. Same goes for the golf. They absolutely hammer home in the first couple of episodes the format of a weekend of a golf championship. You have the first two rounds where everybody's there. Then there's a cut line. If you're under that cut line, you get to play the weekend. If not, you go home and you don't get paid. If you're there for the weekend, you can get paid and you can win. That is absolutely, as I say, hammered home. And then for the last handful of episodes, you understand the graphic when it comes up that the cut line is minus one or the cut line's two over. And it gives you that context then without having to be over and over and over again explained to you. If someone is having a great weekend, someone's having a bad weekend. And I imagine they're going to do exactly the same. Pardon me, for the rugby. They'll probably explain the format of the Six Nations, the format of rugby itself. 15 on 15 can only pass the ball backwards. There's this many people, these positions. You get this bound to points for a try, a conversion, a drop goal, penalty. All of that I know will be explained. Cycling. Now, I know nothing about cycling, so I can't even give an example, but how many stages of the Tour de France are there? How is a winner determined? How long does it go on for? And when you watch that series, you will eventually know more, not every single rule, but you will know the basics then, that what you want to do next is go and watch that sport live, which is the aim of all these to begin with. Give you a behind the scenes look, provide a connection between the person watching and the actual professionals, and whenever you then turn it on live, you'll be like, oh, I know him. That's Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth. There's Rory McIlroy, Max Verstappen, who's only in this series of Drive to Survive. You know, you look back at there's Pierre Gasly, Daniel Ricciardo. Oh, I know that because he left Red Bull and he went to this team. And so many people now know so many more things than what previous iterations of sports fans did, simply because they didn't have the access to this amazing quality of footage and storytelling that we have. And we're extremely lucky for it. And the other thing they do very, very well is they'll promote this really early in the year. They'll promote it a way, way in advance. The golf thing, as I've been hammering on about, was announced it was announced that the filming was taking place and over a year ago. And then they were sort of still waiting to get it green lit and whatever else. And then from 6 months out, it was all rumours and whispers and who's in it. And then from about a month, month and a half out, they can start to promote it just perfectly in time for the start of the golf season. Now, the actual PGA Tour season started a couple of months ago, but the big events are coming up, the majors are coming up, the good weather's coming back. It's going to make you want to go and play golf. And when you play golf, you want to watch golf. Same with the Formula One. If you're listening to this on Thursday, Drive to Survive is out tomorrow, Friday. F1 testing starts this weekend. It happens right on the very brink of the season, so that it's made in such a way that it's very watchable. It's bingeable. You can watch it all in a weekend. You can watch it in 2 or 3 days. And if you consume all that, you're going to be like, well, now I want more. It leaves you wanting more. Where can I get more? Oh, I know. You go and turn on your TV, and there it is, live. A full season of it, straight ahead of you. And you know what happens at the end of that? You get to the end of that season, flip. I wish I had more of this to watch. And then, exactly as that happens, 1 month till Drive to Survive, or 1 month till the newest episode of Full Swing is released. And it's just a constant cycle of reeling you in, giving you exactly what you want, and then putting something else on the end of the stick, which is a full season of the sport you've just watched. So, we'll not see the rugby one, unless, I don't know if it's covering just the Six Nations or the Six Nations and the World Cup. There's a chance we get the rugby one just before the World Cup in the autumn. If not, it'll be at the start of next year, in and around February time, before next year's Six Nations. Netflix have announced that the quarterback series will be coming out in August, a couple of weeks before the start of the NFL season. And it's just done so well. And I'm a big fan of it. As I say, I think it does an excellent job of catering to people with knowledge, with prior knowledge, and those who have no idea. And not being patronizing to either. Like, I'm watching a golf documentary, knowing full well what a cut line is, what happens if you get to the weekend, what the majors are. But then I'm also seeing storylines about people that I didn't even know happened, and aspects of their personal lives, and I'll not give anything away just in case anybody happens to be watching it or there's any spoilers, but you know, something as minute as why a certain golfer wears a certain colour on a day to remember his mum. You know, and then every time now I'm going to watch golf, I'm going to be like, flip, that's why he's wearing that colour. The Drive to Survive this year will get a big boost in ratings because Max Verstappen has finally agreed to sit down and talk. He hadn't done beforehand. So, Netflix have cracked the code, and I imagine they'll be doing it for a long time, because all other sports are going to want to get involved in this. Like, all you have to do is look at the likes of The Last Dance and the popularity that brought to basketball. I mean, everybody was walking around in a Jordan jersey or a retro Bulls jacket or top, or, you know, it spiked the popularity of the sport massively. So I can absolutely see a time where basketball get on Netflix, baseball, probably ice hockey. I would love to see one for Gaelic football, even though it is an amateur sport, just to show the level of commitment, the level of dedication that these fellas put in and go through for a sport that they don't get paid for, and the reward and the payoff that you can feel and you can achieve if you win an All-Ireland, if you win a provincial title. That would be a great insight. That would be something that would be, to me personally, very interesting. I would think that would be worth watching. And the Premier League, no doubt, the Premier League will jump on this eventually at some point, because when football, soccer, like as I said, the All or Nothing series were really popular, and they were on Amazon. So when Netflix gets their teeth into that as well, it'll be one of the most watched series ever, I'd imagine. Like Sunderland Till I Die, that was extremely popular. So there is a formula there. Netflix clearly understand it, and it's not going away anytime soon. So that's my piece on that. What has happened since the last podcast? Well, we've had a lot. I recorded that last one just before the Super Bowl. I'd sort of half thought about maybe doing a Super Bowl preview and then just thought against it because I don't know why. I wanted to and I didn't want to. And I suppose then I just decided that I'd left it too late. It was sort of Friday or Saturday before I got around even properly thinking about it. But nonetheless, great, great game. The ending slightly marred with controversy. Was it a hold? Was it not? I mean, I can see why it's given. I can absolutely understand why. For those that don't know, by the way, the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. And there was a bit of a controversial call towards the end. The Eagles defender was called for holding. Some people made it, you know, thought it might have led to, if that didn't happen, to a more dramatic finish. But others then starting to think maybe it fell flat. It didn't reach its full potential. Nonetheless, golf is, yep, I've talked about that. And my point there, I wrote down golf is flan. Netflix doc, very good as well. My point off the back of that is you can clearly now see that the sport is benefiting from it. Literally within the space of a week. A lot of talk about it on social media. A lot of people saying, I'd love to try this. And that's the exact benefit it was supposed to have. Over the weekend, Armagh were beat by Roscommon in Roscommon. And then they go to Kerry this weekend in what will be another difficult game. I think the atmosphere at that will be great. And it's on TV, so I should hopefully get to see it, even though I'm in work. Should have that on the TV. What else we've got coming up this? Well, we've got loads coming up. If you're listening to this on Thursday, the day it's, this podcast went out, Manchester United take on Barcelona this evening. 2-2 after the first leg in the Europa League. Second leg now coming back to Old Trafford. Both teams looking to progress. That's not what I'm looking to search for. I'm looking to search for the current score in the Manchester City game. City are currently beating Leipzig 1-0. Riyad Mahrez scored there after just half an hour. And last night, Liverpool got absolutely embarrassed. Didn't watch the game, just looked at the scoreline, and that was enough for me. Beat 5-2 by Real Madrid at home, and now have quite the task to overcome in the reverse fixture out in Madrid. But that's neither here nor there. I'm more focused on Manchester United. Two massive games this week. As I said, Barcelona this evening. And then the League Cup final on Sunday against Newcastle United, who we don't know who they'll be feeling in nets after Nick Pope's. And this is another thing I want to talk about. The amount of people trying to, now, bear in mind, it's all Newcastle fans, justify and defend and try let Nick Pope off the hook for what he did is just completely laughable. Some of the tweet, I'm sort of apprehensive to say these out loud or mention them, just in case that it's parody and I've been completely got, because there are some people out there who are fully convinced that, oh, he slipped and he didn't mean it, and some people just grossly misinterpreting the rules, like so badly, that they're doing everything they can to, you know, let him off with just blatantly handling the ball about 40, like, well, what, 20 yards outside his box, like 45 yards into his own half. My brother texted me during that match, during the Liverpool-Newcastle match, and it was quite, the message was just quite simply Nick Pope with a whole bunch of laughing faces. I had no idea what he meant, so of course, as I always do, straight to Twitter, that's where you find out everything in an instant. There it was, the video of him, for some unknown reason, diving paws first onto the ball, in an attempt to stop Salah scoring a third goal. And it was just comical. I mean, it leaves Newcastle in a pretty awkward spot because their number one backup goalkeeper was Martin Dubravka, who spent 2-3 months, maybe 4 months, at United at the start of this season, played in a couple of cup games for us. And they don't know now if he's going to be cup tied or not. Let me just check that while I'm on here, because last I checked, I wasn't sure. Martin Dubravka. And that'll mean it'll go down to third choice goalkeeper, Loris Karius. Do you remember that guy who absolutely shafted Liverpool out of a Champions League all those years ago? That's right, he could also potentially get a medal if United win. We'll only get a Carabao Cup winner's medal if his side lose. That's crazy. This is incredible listening, I do apologise. So, I think by reading that, it's Karius in goal. But based on Dubravka's playing time and his loan spell at United, if United, because he didn't play a single minute in the cup for Newcastle, he did for United. If United beat Newcastle on Sunday, Dubravka gets a winner's medal, despite his parent club Newcastle losing, and the team that he's actually at right now. That game will be great. I think despite the goalkeeping mishap, I think Newcastle are a good enough team to put United on edge. It's the first sort of big moment as a club United have had in a fair few years. And it sort of, as I was saying before, feels like the tide is starting to turn, the momentum's swinging. Big, big, big game for Ten Hag. And see if he gets it right. I'm hoping Rashford continues his immaculate run of form. It also means that the game against Barcelona, as important as that is, you know, are you saving fellas for the cup final at the weekend? Or how are you playing it? It's going to be a very interesting tactical minefield for Ten Hag to navigate between now and Sunday. I mean, the games are just coming thick and fast at this point, and none less than these two massive, massive games this week. Two wins would, of course, be preferable, but I would like the silverware. I would absolutely love the silverware, but I don't know if that means I want to sort of put out a not as strong team tomorrow, or well, this evening against Barcelona, in order to save the freshness in the legs. I mean, it's Thursday to Sunday. There's not a lot of time to recover there. If anybody picks up a knock, it's really touch and go. So, as I say, be interested. Luckily, that's not my decision. Okay, I don't have to worry about that. That won't keep me up at night. All I have to do is sit my ass down in front of a TV and watch it. Aren't I lucky? Earlier on in the day on Sunday 3 o'clock, with Celtic versus Rangers in the League Cup final. I am set to be working that day in a pub where there will be a lot of supporters of one of those two teams. And it will be rowdy. It's a big, always a massive game. Always is treated like a cup final. And now there's actually silverware on the line. So, huge, huge day of sport on Sunday. Celtic Rangers, followed then by Manchester United versus Newcastle United. As I mentioned earlier, we have Formula One testing this weekend. It actually starts today, Thursday, and runs through tomorrow and finishes on Saturday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I suppose I might be doing, and I know I say this about the Super Bowl, So, you know, don't bet your house on it. I might be doing a Formula One season preview with Morgan Short, fella I lived with in first year, has been on the podcast before, doing Formula One stuff, and is a racer himself, having raced at some of the most prestigious circuits in the world, Silverstone, Spa, to name a few. So hopefully if I get Morgan on, we can do a full-length Formula One season preview. But I thought, just in the off chance that I don't do that, don't, you know, follow through with something that I've said, which is very, very typical of me, I would throw a few predictions out here. So I do just think, quite literally, and this seems lazy, but the order will remain unchanged from last year. I think Red Bull, despite their reduced wind tunnel time and potential penalties, will win. Well, at least the drivers, I think Max Verstappen becomes 3-time world champion. Hopefully this season, if he does win it, he wins it while in the car, under normal circumstances. Doesn't have to wait for a court hearing or appeal after the race to confirm it. Doesn't get told by Johnny Herbert on the sidelines in the pit lane afterwards. Hopefully this time it's crosses the line, you're the champion, and he can celebrate, no quarrels, no questions asked. Red Bull, I imagine, will pick up the constructors again, and then Ferrari and Mercedes battle in second. I think it'll be Ferrari, then Mercedes. It's, you know, it's tough. I don't see anyone making major strides from last year. I don't imagine so anyway, despite what all the rumours are saying. Because everyone was still learning the cars last year, and yes, that means you can make developments this year, but it'll be interesting to see. Be very interesting to see. I think McLaren will have a lot of issues, not with their car, but internally. I think that Norris-Piastri combo is a recipe for disaster. Likewise at Aston Martin, the Alonso-Stroll combination, don't think that'll go down too well. In fact, there's quite a lot of fiery combinations this year. Hülkenberg and Magnussen at Haas. You know, Magnussen come in there top dog over Schumacher, who clearly just wasn't up to speed yet. And then Hülkenberg's coming back in as a seasoned vet. Don't think Magnussen will take too well to that. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting storylines off the track, as there always is in Formula One. And it should play out over a good season. I think the calendar's a bit mucked up. I mean, there's a point, like we have a mid-season break, as there is every year, but there's also a period then where there's no race for 4 weeks. So that's definitely something that they could iron out and improve the view and experience in relation to. Ireland are back in Six Nations action this weekend. They're taking on Italy on Saturday, hoping to maintain their 100% record at the start of the competition in their bid for the Grand Slam. And that's about it. Well, there's low, as I said, the Formula One season starts then, the week after that. And I think there's another golf tournament. Well, there's a golf tournament more or less every weekend now, but I think there's another notable one the following week. I can't remember, didn't note it down there in front of me. But we did have the Genesis Invitational there last week, and it was fantastic. I was talking to my brothers pretty much from Thursday to Sunday the whole way through. I think we watched just about every shot that was hit. John Rahm wins again. He's won something like $9 million, and it's the middle, near the end of February. It's just an insane amount of money. Liv Golf, the breakaway tour, is starting up again this weekend. That's the start of their 2023 season. It'll be interesting to see how much, if any, traction it really gains this season. I will admit, I'm curious. I have no quarrels or qualms with myself for watching it or wanting to watch it. To me, it's just more golf, but I don't necessarily like the gimmicky format of it. Now, I might eat those words entirely, based on internal bias when the Tomorrow Golf League that Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods are starting up, it's like a whole stadium type thing. Again, apologies for the chair. Can't help it. Yeah, the Tomorrow Golf League is like a stadium style golf thing. I don't know exactly what it is. I know it's being fronted by Rory and Tiger, and it's designed, I should probably not use this word having just slated it, but it's gimmicky. I'm looking forward to it, but if it turns out to be, you know, the difference between it and LIV is trying to take traditional golf and twist it slightly. Tomorrow Golf League is trying to remarket it completely, do something completely different with it. So that's why, to me, they're sort of separate. But again, I have no real reason why I wouldn't watch the LIV Golf. Again, more entertainment, more sports on the TV. And in case you haven't realised up until this point, if there are live sports on the TV, I am going to watch them. Totally obsessed with them. Can't get enough of them. And I think that might be it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I forgot about. I'm sure there is. It's the case that always happens whenever I either record an episode or go back and listen to one and say, why the hell did I not mention that? And I'm pretty sure there was a lot of other things I wanted to talk about, but Netflix just grabbed my attention once again and steered me in a completely different direction. Just making sure I've read everything from my list. We've got United, Celtic Rangers, F1 testing. Yep. I mean, that's pretty much it. Hoping for a Manchester United win, an Armagh win, and an Ireland win in the rugby then this weekend. That would be preferable. And other than that, I think I'll just wrap it up here because I know now that I'm rambling and I don't have anything else to talk about. So thank you very much for listening. And as always, I will see you all in the next episode of the McLav podcast. Cheers.